The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, it's Jordan Younger, your host of the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire podcast. Here we go deep on all things astrology, awakening, wellness, motherhood, channeling, aliens, and so much more. We have deep conversations. We go to other realms. It's a lot of fun. So stick around. Let's dive on in. I cannot wait to connect.
Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Today we have a much requested guest and someone who I have been a fan of for years, ever since I saw The Secret when I was probably in high school. He was featured in The Secret. He has also been featured on Oprah and so many other places. Today we have Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith on the show. He is a spiritual teacher creating leaders, not followers, and he is the founder and CEO of the Agape International Spiritual Center here in LA. It is not religious, so it's a trans-denominational community that is comprised of thousands and thousands of members from all over the world. He also has a podcast. He has many books. He is so next level. And I couldn't even decide where to begin with this conversation with him. So of course, we begin by talking about birthdays because I am such a number person and he is born pretty much right when my next baby is due. So we had fun talking about that. We talk about manifestation. We talk about the impact of being on Oprah early in his career, as well as the impact of being in The Secret and what that did for his life. And then also we just talk about spirituality. He is such a wonderful person. I could have him on hundreds, if not thousands of times, and we could broach so many different topics. So I am quite certain that you guys will love what we dove into today. Most of all, I just love to learn about the people who come on the show. And I love to show you guys a different side than you would normally see if you're already a fan. So if you're over here, first time listening to The Balanced Blonde because you are a fan of Reverend Beckwith, then welcome. And I hope that you get to see a different side of him today, where we talk about his childhood and what brought him into becoming a spiritual teacher, his intuitive abilities, and all that good stuff. And before we dive into the episode, number one, I have bronchitis, so thank you for bearing with me during this intro. Thankfully, I was quite healthy when we filmed this conversation. But number two, if you haven't joined the Quantum Method, please, please join us. It is my membership community, where we have everything from hundreds of meditations and affirmations to live events, to Pleiadian channelings, pep talks, bonus podcasts, a community where you can connect with people from all over the world. And we have the link in the show notes for you to join us. So please join over at the Quantum Method. You can find that on my website or in the show notes. And that is where I am pouring pretty much all of my energy at the moment. It's a really fun place and a really wonderful group of people. And with that, let's head into this conversation with Reverend Beckwith.
I was born July 21st.
Oh, really?
My father was born July 24th.
Oh my gosh, July 24th. That's my husband's birthday.
Oh, it is my dad.
And yeah, and that's our
due
date.
Yours?
I'm October 11th.
Wow, my girlfriend is October 15th.
Oh, really? So you're a Cancer, but
yes,
you're like totally on the cusp.
Right there.
Yeah. And do you feel like a Cancer?
I do, particularly the first part of my life. Mm-hmm. And then later on, the Leo started coming out.
Oh, really?
So I became more external.
Yeah.
But I'm naturally meditative and solitude.
Yeah, that makes tons of sense.
Yeah.
I keep having a feeling that this baby is going to be born on the 21st because my two-year-old was born December 21st. So he's like a solstice baby. He's on the cusp, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so wild.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
21st is a good number.
It is. It's a really good number. It's my lucky number. Yeah, it's 201. Yeah, so, wow. Well, thank you so much for being here.
It is my joy.
Yes. I have been so familiar with your work ever since The Secret, which we will have to dive into.
Of course, because I feel like that movie and also that book has been so many people's gateway to spirituality. And in many ways, it was my gateway into spirituality too.
Yeah, it was for millions of people. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, mm-hmm. I've traveled around the world and new people have just watched it.
Yeah.
And they'll come up to me and they're very reverential and deference to me and thanking me. And it's like new waves of people find that movie.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. So what was it like at the time? Like, did you have a sense that this was going to be a huge movie?
Well, I was invited to go to Aspen to film. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. The invitation came too late. My schedule was booked. So I wasn't in the original cut. And Rhonda Byrne, who was the director, she was flying from Aspen to Australia, but she had to land in, do a layover in Los Angeles. So while she was in Los Angeles, she came to my spiritual center, Agape International, and she uh-huh. saw me speak. And she says, "Oh my God, I want you to be in my movie." And I said, "What movie?" And she said, "The Secret." And I said, "Oh yeah, my friend Bob Proctor invited me to come, but I couldn't get there." And she said, "Well, can we put up a green screen and just film you?" I said, "Sure."
Wow.
So she put up a screen. Her and Drew, who was he was the director,
uh-huh.
put up a green screen. She began to ask me questions. Then after a while, she said, "Wow, just teach. I'm not going to ask you anything." And I did. I taught mm-hmm. for a while. So then she sent me a copy a number of months later, and I watched it, and I said, "This is going to be pretty big."
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
When was that again? When did that come out?
It came out, I think, in 2008.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it was really before its time.
Yeah, it was one of the first movies, primarily because Rhonda's father had just passed.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband had just left her. She was very depressed. Her daughter gave her a little pamphlet that contained these universal principles. And she read it, and she was excited about it, but she was also upset that at 50 years old, she knew nothing about this. She hadn't mm-hmm. been taught. So she decided to gather all the spiritual teachers that were masters of this and do a movie, because she was a producer. That was her gift.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she did.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
she did an amazing job. Wait, why does she sound so familiar? Is she does TV shows and stuff too?
Yeah, and she's from Australia.
Uh-huh.
So she was pretty big there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's done a number of other books and movies since then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that wasn't her genre.
Yeah.
At first, until she got depressed and said, "Ooh, I need the world to know about this."
Yeah.
And I can remember going someplace and people were very critical of it. And I said, "Listen, it's a entry level for many people. It's not meant to be like the deepest mystical movie."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Why are you critical? You've been teaching this stuff for years. You never did a movie."
Right. Exactly. Yes. And it's so important to appeal to all different stages and different levels of spirituality. And there has to be an entry point for people. The judgment comes from such an interesting place.
Well, I was at an event and I received some of the critique, and I became aware that a lot of the judgment was jealousy
mm-hmm.
because they weren't in the movie.
Of course.
And pretty much that was it. And I called them on that. I said, mm-hmm. "You're mad because you're not in the movie."
Yeah.
You know, this is me real about this.
I'm so happy you said that.
Which I just laughed. I was like Teflon. It didn't bother me.
Of course.
You know. But it was just funny to me.
That is.
Because it boosted their work as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it gives legitimacy to the whole industry.
Absolutely.
Wow. So how did you get into spirituality? What was your childhood like? Were you always drawn toward mysticism and this type of stuff?
My childhood, it was a natural mysticism that I had. However, whenever I would have a certain experience, I sought to shrink it to remain normal. I didn't know what it was, and it didn't seem to fit with my peers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time in elementary school, we had to grow a garden, and we had to grow a garden at home. And so I grew radishes and things of that particular nature from seed. So one day I pulled the radish out of the ground, and I was just so enamored at the fact that this seed produced this vegetable. So I bit into it. And when I bit into it, I felt at one with everything. Now, I didn't have the language, but I ran into the house. I said, Mom, everything is in this radish. Everything is in this radish. I feel it. And she was looking at me like, yes, Michael, yes. I couldn't explain this awareness I was having.
Yeah.
And there was a number of experiences like that growing up, but I would quickly like shrink it and go on and be, mm-hmm. be normal. Mm-hmm. There was a time when I was 11, it was my 11th birthday. I was in Washington, D.C. That's where my family's from. My father moved us to Los Angeles when I was a little boy. So I'm 11 years old. I'm going to the supermarket to pick up something for my grandmother. So I'm in the aisle. Suddenly, I become aware that the young man who was stocking groceries on the next aisle is about to drop a bottle of baby food. I could see it in my mind's eye. So I ran around and I caught it before it hit the ground.
Wow.
And he looked at me and he said, how did you know? I couldn't explain. I said, I don't know. I saw it. I saw you were about to drop it. So now I'm walking home. I have the groceries. My mother, my uncle, and my grandmother are sitting on the stoop in Washington, D.C. And I'm really expanded. I don't know what this is, but I'm aware I'm not the Michael that they think I am. I'm not my mother's son. I'm not my uncle's nephew. I'm not my grandmother's grandson. That's not my only identity. I'm getting closer and closer. I don't know what to do because they're looking at me very familiar, like they know who I am. And so when I got really close, I shrunk and became what I thought they wanted me to be. Okay, so that's happening. I'm still shrinking. There was a couple of other events. It changed when I was a senior at USC. I was a psychobiology major. I was heading on a track to go to med school. And I was having a lot of inner experiences that I labeled psychologically pathology. Thought I was going crazy, seeing visions, was astral traveling. Now, I didn't know that was the name of it back then. Mm-hmm. I was leaving my body. I was going to my mom's house, watching her cook. I'd call on the phone, say, Mom, do you have on a blue dress? Yes. Are you cooking chicken? Yes. So I knew there's validity to it.
Yeah.
But I didn't study any of this, so I didn't know what it was. So the first thing I did was I stopped smoking weed. Uh-huh. I'm in college, yeah. You know. And, but then the experiences intensified. So it culminated, I'm gonna make a long story short, it culminated with, there was these three men in a lucid dream that I had almost every night. They were following me. And every night they were a little bit closer. So one night they were really close, I could see the outline of their face. I looked to my right, there was a small tent with thousands of people trying to fit into this tent. I knew every single person in line. And I said to myself, these men can't harm me. All of my friends are here. And then one by one, they all turned their back on me. Two of the men held me down, and one plunged a knife in my heart. The pain physically was excruciating, emotionally excruciating pain, and I died. And when I woke up, I could see that we're surrounded by this presence of such love and such beauty. And the love that penetrated my being was beyond anything I'd ever experienced. The beauty was beyond description. The lint in the rug was pulsating with life. Everything is alive. And it shifted my perception, and I never got back in the box after that. I never could shrink it. It was just like I was out. So I had to discover what had happened to me.
Yeah.
And that's when I began to study meditation. I studied the mystical teachings of Jesus, Gautama the Buddha, the Bhagavad Gita. I started studying all these things and all these people. Walter Russell was a great, probably the greatest mystic to come out of America. And then I began to see like a correspondence in different mystical experiences. And then after that, it was full ahead with woo. I just had a, like a beautiful love affair with the presence and changed my life. I lost all my friends.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because nobody understood.
Oh, they thought I just freaked out.
Uh-huh.
Because you know? The the shift was sudden. It was like a sudden shift.
Mm-hmm.
So the person and the priorities that I had changed.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about God realization, Christ consciousness, Buddha awareness. I know why I'm here. Why is everybody trying to do all this stuff in the world? You have mm-hmm. to, you know, I was young. Mm-hmm. I'm in my early 20s, you
totally.
Know.
Totally.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
The weather is officially getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees, which I am all about. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, especially because I'm pregnant right now. So because of that, I don't want to buy a ton of new things. So luckily, I found Quince. Now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like their premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from only $30. Their washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. So my favorite item that I have from them is this flowy lavender linen looking dress. You've probably seen it on my Instagram. I wore it around Easter time and it was just so cozy and so perfect. So by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, which we love. This is massive. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/balanced for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/balanced to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/balanced. I am so happy to be partnering with Nurx. Nurx is a digital healthcare platform that makes it easy to get the expert healthcare that you deserve at every single step of your journey. We know that everybody is different, so Nurx provides treatment and care that's personalized to you. Through life's changes and transitions, Nurx is here to help you make informed choices about your health. With care offerings like birth control, anti-aging prescription skincare, and treatment for common mental health concerns, all tailored to your unique health history and goals. What I love is that their experts are here to help. So they have licensed medical providers that possess in-depth knowledge and expertise in a range of all different types of common health concerns. So they can help you find the right treatment based on your preference and your health history. It is not a one-size-fits-all approach, which is my main issue with the healthcare system traditionally. This is a care model designed to grow with women from birth control to wrinkles and dark spot treatment. Nurx understands women's healthcare journeys are unique and ever-changing, and they are championing women to be their own best advocates, which I think is so important. That's how I got on an SRI. That's also how I healed from many different chronic conditions. And if you take birth control, they've got you covered. Thanks to Nurx for sponsoring this podcast. Taking control of your health starts here. Go to nurx.com/blonde to get started. That's nurx.com/blonde. Results may vary. Not offered in every state. Medications prescribed only if clinically appropriate. Consultation required. And what about your family? It seems like your mom knew that you were super intuitive from a very young age. Was she supportive? Did she understand? Because this is something that many young intuitives deal with, including myself. Just like, how does the family react to these types of intuitive abilities?
Yeah, they were very, my mother, at the same time, I'll just give you a little bit more context. I got arrested and my last dope deal of marijuana. I was selling it too, but I'd stopped. But I had one more deal and I got arrested. I'm not going to go into the long details of that, but I got arrested with a lot. Mm-hmm. However, I just had this experience, and I was told internally that I was going to walk away totally free. People, again, thought I was nuts. They said, you should leave the country. You don't want to go to federal prison. You don't want to go to, you know, county jail. I said, I'm free. So I'm sitting in court. I'm reading a pamphlet called Chaotic Meditations by Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. Then he changed his name later to Osho.
Uh-huh.
It's his first pamphlet.
Uh-huh.
And I'm reading it. I have no interest in the court case. I'm just sitting there in meditation. The assistant attorney asked this police officer, why did you go to Mr. Beckwith's house? And he said, well, an informant told us that a drug deal was going down, so we got a search warrant, and we waited for the delivery and went in and arrested him, which didn't happen. That was all a lie, but it didn't matter. And so the assistant attorney said, that's hearsay evidence. I demand that the informant come and identify the accused. The judge called everybody to the stand and said, please have the informant here within 3 days. Met back at court 3 days later. The prosecutor said, the informant is afraid for his life. He will not come. Judge said, you are free to go, Mr. Beckwith. I hope I never see you in my courtroom again. I said, Your Honor, you never will. And I left. And that assistant attorney was Robert Shapiro, by the way.
Oh, wow.
he was a young attorney.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I went home. There was a weather vane pointing in the direction of the wind on my neighbor's building, house. And I remember saying, if this means what I think it means in terms of my destiny, something along those lines, I want that weather vane to point in my direction against the wind. Before I could finish the sentence, the weather vane just pointed at me. I just started crying. I got on my knees and just surrendered my life to the presence. Whatever the will of love is, I'm willing to be it and do it. And that began, you know, I had a lot of miracles after that, and it began my conscious walk to ultimately discover what I'm supposed to do. Yeah.
Wow. That is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story.
And that's a cliff note.
I know, I bet. And so since then, your life has been dedicated to these spiritual teachings.
Yes.
Wow. So tell us about your center.
Okay, so a number of years later, because that happened in my 20s. So at that time, I didn't see myself as a public person. I guess my cancer vibe was still
cancer.
You know, solitude. Meditation. I would see people one-on-one. People liked to be around me, so they would come and I would do healings and things. Matter of fact, I had a different name. My name at that time was Paramatman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was reading the different spiritual texts and that name popped out. It lit up, so I took it on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And little by little, I had to ask, what am I to do with my life? So I'm sitting in my living room. I had bills to pay. I said, what do you want me to do? The phone rang. And it was this woman on the phone, and I'm not going to say her name because she's still alive, but she said, I was looking at your photo in the high school annual. We went to high school together. And I have all these problems, and God told me to call you. Your phone number was under your picture, so I'm calling you. Can you help me? So I began to counsel her and work with her and pray with her, and her life started to change. So I never saw the woman. This was all phone. So one day I went to a restaurant, and she's standing in line. I called out her name, and she looked at me, and she was so embarrassed that she ran away. Never heard from her again.
Wow.
Because she had told me all of her deep, dark secrets and things like that. So then I went home and thought about it, and I didn't have that phone number in high school. And my phone number was unlisted. So I don't know how she got the number. Did it appear in the annual? I don't know.
Wow.
However, she had referred a lot of people to me.
Uh-huh.
So people were seeking me out for spiritual counseling and healings and things like that. So a little while later, my mother told me about this metaphysical church. And I said, Mom, I don't go to church. I go direct. You know, I don't want to go to a theology that's false or anything like that. But I went. And I went to this metaphysical church called the Guidance Church of Religious Science. The founder was a man by the name of Dr. Daniel L. Morgan. So I'm in my early 20s. I'm walking. I arrive a little late. I'm walking down the aisle. And he's speaking. And he says, heaven and hell aren't merely places. They're states of consciousness. And I shout out, he's right. They're saying this in church? I was so shocked. You know? Yeah. This is like early 70s, you know. I said, what? So I sat down. I listened. I said, he's giving language to my interiority. So the next day, I'm in his class. And he says to me, what is your name? I said, Michael Beckwith. And he says, this is a 15-week class. You've arrived in week 7. I suggest you leave and come back when the class starts again. And I say, with all due respect, Dr. Dan, I'm going to stay. And when it starts over, I'll start over as well. And he said, okay, have it your way, like that. Uh-huh. So anyway, I discovered there was a licensing program called Spiritual Therapist. And so I said, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. So I eventually took all the classes, uh-huh. became a religious science practitioner, a therapist, and began a practice in which I saw probably 6 to 8 people every single day, 6 days a week. Started my own seminars before seminars were popular and things of that particular nature. And then one day, you want to hear all this?
Yes. No, I love all this.
So one day I'm teaching a class. Now I'm a practitioner. I'm enrolled in the School of Ministry, not to be a minister. I just like taking classes. I like learning. I like being involved in high conversations. So I'm walking in to teach this class. And all of a sudden, the top of my head cracks open and this light goes through my body. It's so loud to me that I think the class can hear it. And I say, did you guys hear that? And they said, no, we didn't hear anything. And I said, okay, I'm just having an inner experience. So I talked to my friend, a friend of my mother's named Lissa Sprinkles. And I tell her about the experience and all this luminosity is flowing through me. And she says, I have a friend. Her name is Reverend June Gatlin. She's an oracle. Why don't you just go see her? So I go, and I meet her. I bring her some peaches, and we're walking into her living room, and she just stops, and she turns around. And she says, she goes into this channeling. She says, we have opened you at the top of your head. The Christ presence has emerged through your body. You'll never have to prepare to speak again. Hi, my name is Reverend June.
Oh, my God.
I said, what? So she just, you know, and then later on in her reading, she tells me I'm supposed to, oh, you've come to start a spiritual community that's going to embrace people from all around the world. Everybody's going to be involved. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not. What are you talking about? I'm not going to start a spiritual community. I mean, I was in deep resistance.
Uh-huh.
So it took a number of years to break down that resistance. And one time I went to see her and she said, ancestors are saying that if you do not do what you promised you would do before you got here, we have no reason for you to be on the planet anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
It was very intense. And then certain things began to happen in my life that shrunk my life. So I was like catapulted mm-hmm. into saying yes.
Yes. I totally understand that path. Wow. Yeah. That's incredible. Oh, my goodness.
Like, I caught a vision of agape.
Uh-huh.
I came back to Los Angeles. I was in Mexico. I came back to Los Angeles. At the time, I was a director of the training of a prayer ministry, a worldwide prayer ministry. And I told them I was quitting in a couple of weeks. I would train the person under me, but I was I'm called to start a spiritual community. And the lady said, where? I said, they told me to start in Santa Monica. And she said, Santa Monica? Why don't you start a community for your own people? And I said, short people? And she turned really red. And she said, oh, I didn't mean anything. I said, no, it's okay. It's all right. You know. So eventually I started the Agape International Spiritual Center in Santa Monica. We outgrew that place, eventually went to Culver City. And now we're in Beverly Hills. So it's been 37 years.
37 years. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're in our 38th year now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And is it every week or is it every day or like what?
There's something going on every day. We have a number of different programs. you know, programs for the elderly. We have program. We have the university to teach classes. We have a prayer ministry. We have a youth ministry. And then every Sunday I speak three times on a Sunday.
Oh my gosh, I have to come.
You have to come.
I'm totally coming.
Yeah, you got to come.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So it's you know, you'll come there and it's probably one of the most diverse and inclusive spiritual communities in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's there. Rich, poor, black, white, straight, gay, everybody's celebrating the divine. And it's exactly as I saw it and exactly as the oracle described it.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, everything came together exactly as it was supposed to.
Right.
Wow.
And it's still growing. It's still
I'm sure.
Evolving in a very powerful way. And I have a number of teachers that have emerged out of there that are really good, very inspirational, very powerful. You know, I have like 300 spiritual practitioners. I have a number of ministers. I mean, they're really powerful people.
That's amazing. Oh my goodness. Wow. And so you've also been on Oprah, kind of switching subjects. That is like a huge deal. I've had a couple people on the show over the years who have been on Oprah.
Right.
And it's rare and amazing. And what was that like? Like, how was that for your career? What was that experience
like? It was beautiful. I remember when I got the invitation from her to come on. That's when she was in Chicago. And she wanted me to come on the program. And I wasn't a big television person. So I asked my daughter, I said, Oprah Winfrey wants me to come on her TV program. Is this a big thing? And she said, Dad, yes, it's really big. I'm going with you.
That's amazing. I said, the biggest.
I said, really? And then my mother said, I'm going too.
Yes.
So my mother and my daughter went with me. And I went on the program. And then I went on more than one time. It was a number of times I've been on there. And then when she moved to LA, I've done things with her. I did a program called Instant Counseling or something like that. And they had us at the beach with a table. And people would come up and I had like 10 minutes to counsel them. So that was produced by Deepak Chopra's son.
Uh-huh.
And that was, I've done a number of things with her. Yeah.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. And do you feel like that was a big turning point in your career? Because of course, then just way more people know you and recognize you. And also, it's a huge accomplishment to be part of something so massive.
It was a big turning point, particularly for Agape. Me too, but it was already pretty packed. And then it became very packed because people discovered, oh, he's right here in LA. You know, and they came out. And then I was, after, you know, I went on Larry King Live and Dr. Oz and Tavis Smiley and a number of programs, you know.
That's amazing. Wow. So let's talk manifestation. It's one of my favorite topics. What are your tips for everybody listening to start to manifest in their life?
Well, we can hit it. There's so many levels we can deal with manifestation. Basically, when your thought and your feeling are in alignment, then that's when you manifest. So if, in fact, you have, let's start with a visualization or a re-enchantment of your imagination about what's possible in your life, and then you actually feel that it's actually happening. It's not in the future. You actually do exercises remembering. Maybe remembering moments where you had all your needs met, remembering moments in your life where you were totally healthy, remembering moments in your life where you were surrounded by love. And if you don't have any memories like that, you just use your imagination because the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between imagination and whether you've actually experienced it. So once the thought and the feeling are in alignment, it changes your behavior and your actions start to represent the thought and the feeling. So now manifestation has to occur, you see, because you'll train yourself to speak as if it's already happened. You release hope and you speak as a prosperous individual. You speak as a healthy individual. I know everything is unfolding perfectly in my life. I know and feel totally safe and secure. I totally feel so healthy, you know. So you speak in the present moment and you feel, it's the feeling that provides the healing, which is a revelation of wholeness, and the healing is actually a revealing of what's already within you. So you're not adding anything to yourself. You're actually dissolving the obstructions to your innate wholeness. It's an elimination process. All spiritual growth, development, and unfoldment is eliminating something, a lie, a belief, a perception, a point of view, a woundedness. You will manifest by law. You're always manifesting. If you're in fear, you are right now manifesting toxic chemicals that are making your immune system not function properly, eliminating the coherence of the brain, speeding up your aging process, creating condition for symptoms and disease. So we're always manifesting. The point is, are we consciously manifesting what we really want?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. I love the way that you put it. Like taking something away, like eliminating the lies that we tell ourselves or the things that have gotten stuck in our subconscious or bad memories, that kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. The subconscious is actually the law of our life. It's not the conscious mind is good, but what's subconscious, which is most of us, is what's running our life. I mean, the good part of the subconscious is it digests your food, it extracts nutrition, eliminates waste, keeps your heart beating. You know, you can't do that consciously. If you had to wake up and say an affirmation to get your heart beating, you know, that'd be a problem.
Totally.
So there's a lot of subconscious things that are very good. But we've all been imprinted from the time, you know, I like to say that we are flawless beings emerged from the eternal. But when we enter into a human incarnation, even in utero, we're imprinted. We're imprinted by our parents' conversations, the social milieu, whatever's going on in the world at that time, whatever's going on in the news, that imprints us. And then those imprints become a part of our perception in our subconscious mind. So we're oftentimes is living a life that we didn't choose to live consciously. It's become a part of our law. Something has hijacked our mind. So as we begin to grow spiritually, the work that we do in meditation, affirmative prayer, life visioning, yoga, pranayama, all the spiritual technologies begin to eliminate those thought forms and those perceptions that we've been imprinted with that have become our law until we become liberated, become more free. So then the subconscious becomes infused with possibility, miracle, serendipity, spontaneous goodness, coincidences. You know, we change our law of our life. And everyone can do that. Every single being is a flawless being that has been imprinted. Some people have been imprinted positively and obviously negatively. Some people have been imprinted more negatively based on environment, based on unenlightened parentage, or whatever the case may be. But there's no one on the planet that cannot free themselves with just a little bit of insight from spiritual practice. Everyone, I feel, and I see, everyone has a beautiful destiny. They just have to uncover it, you see? Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. I completely agree.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's your daily spiritual practice look like?
Basically, when I wake up, I kind of smile a little bit, you know, but I get out of bed and I stand up and I become grateful for my life. I'm just grateful. Then I surrender to life and invite whatever my assignments are to be today. And then I ask for the strength and the intelligence to complete whatever assignment comes in my direction. So that assignment can be what's on my to-do list. I'm coming to see you today, you know. Or it could be something I don't even know is going to happen today. I may meet somebody, something may happen. Okay, so that's when I first wake up. So then I head to the kitchen. I make my warm water with my lemon, my minerals, things of that particular nature. I drink a glass of warm water. I make a special tea. And then I take these herbs, Mm-hmm. And then I go to the gymnasium and I work out, I have a trainer, I work out physically. Then I come home and then I have a more long meditation period. Mm-hmm. And then I make my shake. I have my own product that I've developed.
Ooh.
Adapt a Zen superfoods.
Amazing. And we got to check this out.
Yeah. And a good vitamin D, 3K2. And I put all avocado and vegetables and fruits and all. So I drink that along with these other herbal supplements. Take my shower, take my steam. Before I leave the house, I have I'll say don't leave home without it. You know, just a brief intention setting. Today's going to be magnificent, you see. And then I go into whatever I'm supposed to do the day. Go to the office, have my meetings. Mm-hmm. And then when I come home at night, I'll have a brief meditation. Then when I go to bed, I have something on my phone. It's like, it's now about 18 things about myself personally, my family, friends, agape, that I read, like little prayers of possibility. So I actually read that when I wake up, before social media, before the news, before anything else. I read that, so that goes into my subconscious. So before the subconscious, before I can totally wake up, I read that, and then before I go to bed, I read it when I'm sleepy. So I'm programming my subconscious upon awakening, and I'm programming my subconscious upon sleeping.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
What kind of things are on the list?
I have health, obviously prosperity, the continual emergence into Christ consciousness, and then I have my spiritual center, that it continues to be a shining light to help liberate millions of people on the planet. It has all of its needs met. It's financially solvent. And then I have my family members, and I call forth their success, their health, their prosperity, their enlightenment. And then I even have my board of trustees on there. We are a field of such love and enthusiasm and service. And then things will be added based on whatever's going on in my life at that time. Mm-hmm. Some things are permanent, and some things are, they're malleable based on what's happening. Right now, I'll see a world that works for the highest and best within us all, that we're now in a conversation, and not about not who wins a war, but we're now in a conversation about no war at all on the planet. Mm-hmm. We want to lift our, so I have that, I just see it, feel it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so powerful. I'm just imagining all the things that I do before I go to sleep sometimes, checking social media, all the things that they say not to do.
Right.
But like, I'm going to play this little game on my iPad. I'm going to watch this show. But imagine, I'm imagining doing what you do.
And you can still do
powerful.
That.
Yeah, totally.
But just the last thing you do is look at you can call it your wish list or your affirmation list, whatever you want to call it. Let that be the last thing you do. Why do your social media, do your games, do all that. But then right when you're getting sleepy, read the life you want to live.
Yeah.
That's and then huge. Go to sleep.
That's huge. Wow.
So we're not telling you not to do things.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, your routine sounds amazing. Your morning sounds perfect.
Yeah.
What time do you wake up?
On Sunday, I wake up at 4 a.m., and then the rest of the week is around between 5:30 and 6.
Okay. And what time do you go to bed?
Sometimes I go to bed really late.
So you don't get a lot of sleep?
No. But recently I've been getting more sleep. Like last night, I got in the bed and I realized it was 10:30. I got sleepy. I went to bed.
Uh-huh. If I woke up at 4 or 5, I would be very tired at 10:30. Yeah.
But you should try it one day a week.
I'll try it.
Because you know why? If you wake up, Just one day, just try at 4, it's like a really beautiful time because there's no psychic energy in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's awake. So there's no thought forms. You'll just sit and you'll be able to hear your own soul and the whispering of the spirit. It's beautiful.
Yeah, no, that makes it sound worth it.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a morning person, but I'm the person who stays up so late.
There's a morning when you go to bed.
Still awake at 4. I mean, it's not what I want, but I have insomnia and got super thrown off many times.
Yeah. Well, make sure you have enough serotonin in your body so you can go to sleep.
I know. How? Like, I know. Sunlight, all the things.
All the
I'm
things.
Trying. Yeah.
Yeah. Vitamin D, all that stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I have that too sometimes.
Yeah. You know. Understand. It's the empaths, the sensitive people, the intuitive people.
Yeah.
If I'm with people at night and then I go home, there's no chance that I'm going to sleep. I'm reliving everything. I have everyone's feelings inside of my body.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, I can remember. I mean, I'm like that too. So I had to develop certain technology. So one time I was at Kaiser Hospital visiting a woman in the cancer. She had cancer, so I am praying with her, and so as I'm leaving the hospital, I pick up on all the sadness of the other cancer patients. I get in the elevator, I go down, I'm standing on Sunset Boulevard, that's where the hospital is, and I feel so depressed, I actually feel suicidal. I see a bus coming down the street on Sunset Boulevard, and I say, if I time this just right, I could be hit and be out of here. Then I say, these aren't my thoughts, why am I thinking this? So I realize I'd picked up.
Yes.
So I learned how to not pick up vibrations from people. Instead, what I do is I radiate energy. So if I'm going to come into the room like I did today, I actually put myself into a state of feeling a quality, peace, joy, love, whatever. I feel it, and then I walk in with it. So that I'm radiating that quality. So I'm really not interested in picking up people's vibrations. The only time I do that is if I'm in a counseling session and they're having difficulty articulating what they're feeling. Then I'll kind of drop in and see what they're feeling. Other than that, radiation for an empath prevents you from picking up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about a good time in your life and then magnify it and radiate it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah,
I have to start doing that more. I try.
Yeah.
It's just we get so caught up in our daily life, running around, and sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, stop. Breath. Feel connected. Put a smile on your face. Gives you face value.
Mm-hmm.
Begin again.
Yes. Good tip. I love it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I can tell because your energy is so powerful. It's so calm, but yet I feel it in this whole room. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Life is good.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I want to ask you some of the questions that I ask everyone who comes on the show, kind of like rapid fires. Do you know your, well, you of course know that you're a Cancer, but do you know your moon and your rising?
A rising is Aries, and I think my moon's Cancer too.
Oh, wow.
I think so, yeah.
That's a powerful chart.
Yeah.
Double Cancer with that Aries to give you some fire.
Yeah.
If you could be in a room with three people, living or dead, who would they be?
Okay, well, I've been with a couple. Walter Russell. Most people in America, they don't know who Walter Russell is. He's one of the greatest mystics to come out of our culture, went into cosmic consciousness, and wrote a book called The Divine Iliad without editing, just straight.
Wow.
He invented the duplex. He raised Arabian horses. He was a multimillionaire. He ice skating champion at 69. He taught mysticism. He showed on the empirical chart all the elements that came up later. He never graduated from high school. Total mystic. He's the one who helped me when I opened up. He was dead already, but most of my teachers were dead at the time. He was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to be with him. He's passed over. Probably, even though I met him when I was a small child, I was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now I'm friends with his son.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a counselor to his daughter, Dr. King's granddaughter. But I would like to have a conversation with him. That'd be great. And I've worked four or five times with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, but I don't mind being in his company again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind being in the company of him, Paramahansa Yogananda, Mohandas K. Gandhi, Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Such a good list.
Yeah.
And if you were a color, what color do you feel best represents your energy?
I like purple.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I like the purple lavender vibration. And I like blue too, deep blue.
I could see that. It's powerful. It's like the wisdom, the wisdom chakra, crown chakra.
Yeah.
Wow. And then any books or podcasts that you recommend to people? Like,
I recommend my podcast.
Yeah, your podcast is amazing.
Yeah, Take Back Your Mind.
Uh-huh.
That's good. Also, The Model Health Show. That's with an individual named my friend Sean Stevenson has a really good podcast. Covers health, wellness and well-being. He's a nutritionist, but his research is so impeccable. And he'll say, oh yeah, there has been 16 Harvard peer review research projects on that, and you're absolutely perfect on that particular. Before you say that, you're absolutely right. So that's called The Model Health Show.
Okay.
Yeah, Sean is, he's really something.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And where can everybody find you?
They can find me in a couple of places. If they want to know about the spiritual community, they can go to agapelive.com, and they can go to michaelbeckwith.com. That website is being rebuilt right now. They can go back to Take Back Your Mind, the podcast, which is on YouTube and all the places where podcasts are. I have a pretty robust Instagram page, Michael Beckwith. I put something on there every day, something inspirational every day.
Incredible. Wow. Well, this was amazing. We'll have to have you back on.
Please.
There's so many other topics for us to dive into.
There's so much.
I love the work that you do in the world. And thank you for spending time with us.
And thank you. You got such a beautiful spirit.
Your countenance
just glows, and you're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Because we need more conscious people having babies.
We do. We really do. How many kids do you have, by the way?
I have two.
Uh-huh. A girl and a...
A girl and a boy.
Nice.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh,
and then my son has three boys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You have a grandson.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
The first of many. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Come say hi on Instagram at The Balance Blonde and tell me what your favorite part of this episode was. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and send me a screenshot of your rating and review for a free Soul on Fire yoga ebook. See you next Wednesday. Love you guys.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.